Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, the podcast by filmmakers for filmmakers. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, Jeff, as always. Jeff and I are writers and directors and passionate about the art of storytelling. Filmmaker Mixer is a creative hub where aspiring and established filmmakers come together to share experiences, insights, strategies, and inspiration.
And today we are chatting with the filmmaker behind the documentary, Punishment. Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, and we are chatting today with Austin Mammon. He is a director and a cinematographer. His film Punishment just screened at Slam Dance. It's a really interesting documentary. It's about redemption and good and evil and religion. It's really fascinating. I enjoyed it a great deal. So I've got a lot of questions for you. Austin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Since the film is just out, you know, going to festivals, describe to the audience what Punishment is.
So I had the opportunity to go into this high security jail in Norway, where they have a very special program where inmates may enter a 3-week silent retreat where they are in a closed off ward where they go through this program. I read about this and I was immediately very attracted to it because it was strange and made me feel hope in a way for our species, I guess.
Hey, we can't have enough of that.
I mean, being in jail, you've lost your freedom. And that's a very hard thing to experience. So it's not a good place to be. And there are, of course, reasons why people end up there. And to imagine them going through something like this felt like, I have to see this. Is this for real? And what happens?
And so you weren't brought onto this project. You found the subject matter and you said, I just want to do this thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I read about it and immediately imagined it as a film, which I'd want to do. And also very quickly, I thought it's going to be impossible. I will never
get. Step one, find your subject. Step two, give up. Step three, go back.
Yeah. So yeah, I did go back, and the idea and the compulsion to do it didn't go away, fortunately. And then it was still hard to pull it off.
What made it difficult, do you think?
I quickly got access to the jail, and I got on board with the people organizing the retreat very quickly. This is also because they have the perception that this program is of a huge value to their inmates, that they have been doing it for over 10 years, and that they see that something happens with people who go through this, that they see their progress. They're able to kind of make different choices in their lives. So they have this, they really value this in jail. So they want to show it. Of course, what was difficult at the time, it was only once a year. So
and they allow in the I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but in the documentary there were 4 subjects, correct? So yeah. Once a year they only allow 4 people to do this.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Interesting.
And then they used, of course, a year to kind of put together that group. We had to try and find at what point in that trajectory do we enter and talk to them about being in the documentary. It was very important for me that everyone going into the retreat would want to participate in the film.
A documentary is only as good as the subject matter being able to open up and be raw and be real. And it's your job as a filmmaker to make them comfortable in doing that. What was your process to make the subjects feel comfortable? And because you're just there, you're the fly on the wall through the whole thing. So did you have a process to make them feel okay with you there?
I think it was a continual kind of work in a way. And how we actually ended up recruiting those inmates who would both want to be part of this retreat, which is kind of daunting in itself, and have someone film it which is extremely daunting in my eyes. What we ended up doing after a succession of failures in is actually the jail saying the next retreat will be filmed. Yes, so they agreed on doing this so that
Oh.
for a year the inmates would know that the next retreat will be filmed. If they want to join in on it, that's the deal.
And so from the moment you read the article and heard about it to the moment you started filming, how much time was that?
2 years.
2 years, wow. And then and you shot through the whole retreat. And then how long before you had the film ready?
I think it was 2 years.
Well, I want to pivot over to you as a cinematographer. I'm curious, what was the motivation for black and white?
I tried to resist the idea quite long.
And did you shoot it that way, or was that just in post?
No, we shot digitally, so
Okay.
it's but I shot it black and white in a way that I turned my monitor black and white
Right.
and had a special LUT to
Oh,
which I had.
interesting.
Yeah. So the idea was there for a long time, but I kind of just didn't want to indulge in it in a way. I
Yeah.
guess because I love black and white, but it's a very big statement, and I was afraid that it would take too much, make people too conscious about it in a way. But then I was kind of working with the LUT just 2 weeks, I think, before principal photography was to commence, and then. As I did that often, I just take away color and work on contrast alone before I add the color back. And when I did it with the images from the prison, it felt like, this is what it has to be. That was very like a very emotional decision for me. It just felt very right in the way that it kind of peeled away this layer of realism, which can be kind of banal, and it kind of went right into the kind of starkness of the monastic reality which we enter with them, and it felt like suddenly I had this apparatus which could kind of make an X-ray of their soul.
Speaking of that X-ray, I wrote this down because I wanted to remember it. At one point in the documentary, one of the gentlemen says, "Accepting who you are turns out to be pretty hard." I thought that was kind of a profound statement, and it made me think, or at least it made me want to ask you this question: what do you think the theme of the piece is, and did that idea of the theme change from when you started to when you finished? And then I guess the second part of that question is what do you hope an audience will take away from it? So thematically, what do you think this piece is about? Is the first question.
I think there are several ways to talk about it. I'll just try off a few approaches here. One is looking for hope where hopelessness reigns, in a way. That's one. And then another is this curiosity to really get to know intimately people which we very quickly reject.
It's easy
And
to put people in a box, especially when you're talking about, people who've committed crimes and they're in prison. And so it's easy to categorize them and forget, that they have humanity and they have desires for redemption and all those things as well. So that's interesting. So, but I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
And another thing is why or what happens when you live in jail? How does that work for people? And I was kind of not too decided about this going into the project, what my personal opinion on of jail. I think I was also curious about getting to know this because it's I think as a society, how we treat those who are on the borders of society is very important for how we work or the state of the inner state of our society. And I think, yeah, so I was curious to kind of be there and kind of get the feel for this. And what is quite interesting, I think, with my experience, which is in the film, through my lens, you might say, is this is in one way not jail at all because you're in this silent retreat as if they were monks. But their experience, their lives are in jail. So the what we get to know with them is very much what someone in jail feels, but which are very often not something they share with outsiders.
You mean,
Because
yeah, unpack that a little bit. You're saying the experience that they're having in jail, they don't have the opportunity, or they don't, if they do have the opportunity, they choose not to share those experiences. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's being in jail is so hard because showing weakness, or not weakness necessarily, but showing vulnerability is very dangerous. It's not a milieu, you might say, for trying to be vulnerable and explore things which might make you pray for others. So I think very often when I see films with subject matter from jails, either fiction or documentary, it's quite hard to kind of get behind the facade, the criminal facade. And that was, in a way, something which I felt was a very important part of my discovery in this experience and being with these guys in during these 3 weeks, to kind of really get into underneath that hard surface.
And is that what you hope the audience takes away? This, first the idea of hope, and then the idea of, I guess, recognizing the humanity of these people. I mean, what do you hope an audience will take away from the film?
Well, I kind of made some hard choices in how the film is designed, in the way that it is, it's not kind of jumping out to entertain you. I kind of invite the audience to try and go along on this process with the inmates. Kind of like for everyone who enters this retreat, the experience will be different. And in a way, I hope that will be the same way for an audience. But I hope they may have some experience of doing an explorative travel in their own self, in parallel with inmates. And by doing it, kind of going with them step by step, I also think and hope that we can kind of open up our perspective of our fellow human beings, also those who have done things we might want to condemn.
I'm curious, did you change in any way after you shot the documentary? How did it affect you dealing with the subject matter? Because it's pretty interesting.
I think I got, I was, I've become less afraid.
Yeah, what do you mean by that exactly?
I think there have been kind of certain kind of masculine types or personas which have scared me before, which don't scare me that much anymore.
Well, we're waxing philosophical. Let's pivot back to some filmmaking questions. But you can't help it with this subject matter because it is, you do get drawn into their experience. And I was struck, and I want to get to filmmaking questions in a bit, but talking about this, I was struck how many of them talked about childhood trauma and things like that and how it affected the choices they make in life. So you covered a lot of really deep philosophical and religious territory, I think, and that's what I enjoyed about it. Back to the filmmaking side, what was your footprint like of crew? Because in documentaries, sometimes you have to move quickly, sometimes you have big budgets, sometimes you have small. We've interviewed documentary filmmakers where it was basically just them, the one guy out there or gal, getting it done. How big was your crew? How did you light? How did you shoot it? I'm curious about that, because I ask that because Andrew and I get that question all the time from young filmmakers. They want to do my first documentary. How many people do I need? And I know it's different for every film. What did you do?
I've shot many different types of documentaries. I mean, I've shot films for over 20 years as a cinematographer, and both fiction and documentary. And one of kind of my one of the things I'm most important occupied with in pre-production is really designing a project so that we don't overdo it in any way, that we actually really need whatever we have, and have whatever we need, but that we don't have stuff we don't need, or not that we're not too many. And in this case, it was extremely important for me to have the camera myself, so that it was only me and a sound recordist. And it was I was thinking about, oh, could I do the sound myself, which I'm very glad I didn't do, because we had so many different, we had mics on eight different characters.
Oh, wow.
So we had to, the recordist had five
I
channels.
ironic for a silent retreat.
Things are said. And what was kind of, I mean, as a, I didn't know exactly if I would get the opportunity to film and record the conversations, which are a very, very important part of the retreat, and now the film, fortunately, because every day the inmates have the opportunity to have a private one-on-one 30-minute conversation with a priest. And of course, I wanted to film this, but I only asked about this the day we started to film,
Oh,
because
wow.
I was kind of, yeah, some things is very smart to figure out long before you get there, and other things, it's like sometimes you just have to do it when it happens.
Right.
And I kind of just trusted this question to be of this nature, because I thought if I ask too early, it might become something which made people worried.
Right.
And I think I can't film it before it happens anyway, so why make people worry? I'll just ask just before.
Right.
And unfortunately, everyone agreed to have some of their conversation filmed, where a lot of very intimate things is said. Well, yeah, but back to the crew. So my excellent sound recordist, which I've worked on projects before in documentary where I've been cinematographer, so I knew him. He had more wireless mics than he had channels, so he had to kind of turn people on and off on the
Oh,
go.
wow.
In addition to doing the boom, so he had really had his work cut out for himself. So I'm very glad I had him, and I think also emotionally for me to be able to debrief everything with him was very important. And then we weren't able to, or we weren't allowed to sleep in jail. I asked first if that would be possible, but for safety reasons, they did not
Right.
allow that. So we hired a house very close to this jail and lived there for these 3 weeks. And then I had a director, editor I knew from a film school where I've been teaching. And she logged all the material, and she was also someone I could talk to about what we got every day. So that was also very helpful for me. So I had this second opinion for both of, from both of these people.
And did you find you shaped the documentary more in the edit versus how you felt going in? I know that documentaries, you sometimes don't know what you're going to get. So a lot of the story comes out in the editing room. Was that true in your case?
In some ways it was. In some ways, there is this very natural coherence and development coming from the program itself. I mean, it's a there is this cert this there are four stages with the different themes, and this gives a very natural development to the story. This we kept in editing, and I also was quite sure that I didn't want to have one protagonist. I would want to try and make a portrait of all four inmates, which we stuck to. It took quite some time to really get into the right rhythm of the film, because I was kind of open-minded in editing, in thinking of, when thinking about the length of the final length of the film. I was kind of thinking it'll just be what it turns out to be, the best movie for me, and I had a very supportive producer for this, which I'm very happy for, Ingvild Giske. So she's brave, which is of course very, very helpful when you're trying to go off piste like I feel this project was. At some point in editing, the film had turned just too fast. We kind of lost the feeling of the flow of time, where, yeah, kind of where the emotions and thoughts really come from for
So
the
you
character.
are you saying you had a cut of the film that was just tighter and leaner, and it started to lose a little something? Is that what you mean? Interesting. And did you discover that by just on your own, or did you screen it with peers and kind of get feedback?
Yeah, we had quite a lot of test screenings for this film. That was very useful for me. I mean, I'm very experienced as a cinematographer, but as a director, this is my first feature. So, in a way, the editing felt like film school.
Well,
So, I just hope I graduated.
well, you got into Slam Dance. You must have done something right. Speaking of Slam Dance, I'm also curious. Once you found out you were going to screen there, obviously that's a great opportunity for people to see the movie. It's a great opportunity to get critics there. It's a great opportunity to network. How did you plan your festival run in terms of networking and promotion? What was your strategy like? Because that's something a lot of filmmakers, I think, don't think about until suddenly they're in a key festival, and then they're like, I gotta make a plan. So what did you do?
Well, I still feel very fresh in dealing with this part of making films. I've been attending other festivals as cinematographer, and in a way that was good for me, because being at the festival is always like this mix between great meetings and experiences and feedback of your work. And then there's also this, you have this question, what am I going to get out of this? And that question is not always answered in the way that you might think or imagine. I mean, it's ups and downs going into a festival, and that is, I've been to Venice, I've been to Berlin, the Berlinale, and I presented this work here in Cannes, and it's always, for me at least, it's kind of something to try and get my head around. But what is always a big joy is just having this feedback from people who watch your things, and when you feel that you emotionally, that you kind of hit someone, then it's in from all over the world. That's a very rewarding experience for me. When it comes to the practicality of like planning and stuff, I have my producer is quite experienced, I would say. And what we did was we hired a publicist, and that was a very, very useful way of getting reviews and getting interviews and getting more an idea of what might happen, how to operate in this festival. So that's something I really, really would like to recommend for everyone.
I'm curious, you said earlier that the retreat was once a year, and I got the impression that they've changed that. Are they doing it more now at the prison?
Yeah, the success is so kind of well documented after doing it for 10 years that it has now become institutionalized, and they run retreats throughout the year, and every inmate in Norway might apply to participate and can be transferred to this jail for the period of time it takes to be part of the program.
So does that mean you're going to turn it into a series?
I mean, I'm not done necessarily with the theme, but I think the retreat as film, I think I'm kind of done with.
Well, it's a really fascinating film. I hope you have great luck with it. What are you up to next?
Well, I'm in development with different ideas, but one thing I'm doing right now is just kind of inspired by the work the inmates did with themselves. I'm doing a quite personal essay documentary called Pictures from a House.
Oh, interesting.
Where I kind of look through pictures I've taken from the house where I live as a father to two and a stepfather to two, from the last 12 years.
Interesting.
So I try and explore my ideas of being a man and being a father.
Nice. That sounds good. That sounds really fascinating. It's been fun having you on the show, Austin. It's a great film. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate you taking the time to join us. Tell folks where they can find you if they want to know more about the film, where it's screening, what festivals. How do they track you down? Is it Instagram or websites, Facebook? How do they find you?
Yeah, we have this Facebook page for Punishment. So it's just Punishment at Facebook, where you can find more news and get in touch with us if you're interested. And I guess that's the best gateway for anyone interested.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks again for your time. Again, I enjoyed the film a great deal. I hope you have just fantastic success with it. And if anything develops with your new project, let us know. We'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you very much. It's been great to talk to you.
All right. You take care.
You too. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping, and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and stay tuned for future episodes.